Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
Come on, turn the radio on, it's Saturday, and I won't be long.
Don't get me wrong, I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
For sake, kid, keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not America's.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
I'm Heidi Harris, in for Annie Fry. How you doing? Hope you're having a great afternoon. Lots more to get to. If you missed some of my conversation with Dr. Kelly Victory just moments ago, that's going to be up on the podcast, right, Ryan?
Right now. It's up right now.
Oh, Jake's already got it up for you.
I got it up.
Jake! Wow.
I know.
He's moving fast. You don't want to miss what Dr. Kelly Victory had to say about masks, the Delta variant. You know, I got to tell you, I am so furious that they're trying to blame all this. You know, the vaccine doesn't work like they told us it was going to work. Big shock. Now they're going to blame it on us because we didn't get the vaccine because it's not working in other people. Huh? How is that my fault? Can someone explain that to me?
No.
Okay.
I can't explain that. I didn't know if it was rhetorical, but the answer is no.
I'm just asking. Maybe Mark Cox can explain it. Of course, you know him, 97.1 FM morning guy. Maybe Mark Cox can explain. By the way, Mark, you had the best quote the other day. I put it on Twitter. Everybody retweeted it. You said, if masks work, why get the vaccine? And if the vaccine works, why do they want us back in masks? It was brilliant.
Well, thank you, Heidi. Yeah, you know, I wish I could take credit for originating that thought, but it seemed fitting at the time because now we've got what the... A group of pediatricians calling for children to start asphyxiating themselves again with masks, even though we know that I listened to part of your interview with Dr. Victory. Thank God there are people like that in the medical field that are willing to speak out about some of these warped statistics that they want to feed people to justify what they're trying to do here. I don't get it. I agree with Tucker Carlson last night. They're trying to sell this as a vaccine. As a pandemic of the unvaccinated is a fraud.
Yeah, it's a complete fraud, trying to blame us because their vaccine didn't work. I mean, but you know what? Here's the scary thing. We're speaking with Mark Cox, of course, morning show host here on 97.1 FM. People are buying this, Mark. That's what makes me just want to keep beating my head against a wall. Why do people keep buying it? Do they want to buy into the fear? Is that what it comes down to?
Well, I mean, I think there are people that benefit from the fear factor.
Oh, true.
Which is why I'm worried already that somebody like Sam Page, the county executive here, is going to use this as an excuse to reinstitute some of those things from which he derived a lot of power over the last 18 months over people's lives. That's where I see it going. And, you know, here's my thing. I got the vaccine. I chose to do that because I have an elderly mother who I deal with a lot. I'm hoping to travel internationally before the end of the year. And I know it's probably going to be required at least to either have the vaccine or a recent test or something like that before I go. So I went ahead and got the vaccine. It was my choice. If you choose not to get it, I have no issue with that. I don't want them pushing it on us. And here's what we also know. If you got the vaccine and you still catch COVID, the symptoms, you're either asymptomatic or they're much less, it has much less of an effect on you. So it's at least partially effective, but that's still my choice. And for the president of the United States to claim that Facebook is killing people or anybody that disagrees with him is killing people is a joke. And the mainstream media treats him like he's as serious as a heart attack.
No kidding. We're speaking with Mark Cox, morning host on 97.1 FM, of course, right here. You know, it was interesting, Mark. I predicted that because so many people don't have the vaccination, that a lot of cruise ships and things like that would not force you to get it just because they're looking at it from a business perspective, right? But now with the Delta, this is pretty much going to ensure, I would imagine, that you're going to have the vax in order to travel.
Yeah, you know, I think Ron DeSantis has been doing a good job of fighting that in Florida. And I thought that he had won that battle, at least initially, because they said they would require it and then they didn't require it. And I think somebody went to court over that. But, yeah, again, at some point, when did we lose our freedom in this country? I don't understand that, Heidi. I don't understand why, you have every right in the world to come and go as you want, to look both ways before you cross a busy street or not. I don't need the government holding my hand crossing the street. And I think we've got to come to, I mean, we've given up a lot of our freedoms in this country if the government is now responsible for us from cradle to grave. The vaccine's available. Get it if you want. If you don't want, you know what the risks are. And leave us alone. That's kind of how I look at it.
No, that's true. We're speaking with Mark Cox, morning host on 97.1 FM. You know what's interesting to me, Mark, is that they act like this was the only thing that was contagious. I mean, there are people who will go to Walmart, and there are people at Walmart, you know, you've seen the whole website's devoted to how they dress. Most of them, a lot of them don't take showers. And people will go out in public with these folks long before COVID, risking who knows what. Now, all of a sudden with COVID, we're supposed to be scared. And it's amazing to me how the fear has turned us on each other. It's broken up families. It's divided friends. I mean, that's been the saddest thing for me to see.
Well, who wins? Who wins when there's that sort of division? I mean, it's the people that are pumping it up. And that's what I hate about it, that families have been divided over it. Who are we to believe? At the end of the day, a lot of us had a lot of confidence in our elected officials, and particularly in appointed positions like the CDC and things like that. We've been conditioned to believe that what they say is in our best interest. And then we go through this pandemic where Dr. Fauci has switched his position 75 times on everything from masks to whether or not it's safe to go driving a car by yourself without a mask. Who knows what to believe? Now all of a sudden they're back at us telling us we might need to mask up again. I'm sorry. I'm vaccinated. I'm not worried about it.
Well, see, that's the point. We're speaking with Mark Cox, morning host, of course, here on 97.1 FM. Talk, you know, it's interesting to me because I've had this conversation with family. You know, you're vaccinated. Don't worry about what's happened to me. And in places
right.
like Las Vegas, there's already talk of having just the people in the casinos, for example, the employees wear the masks, vaxxed or not. Right now, a lot of hotels are forcing the unvaccinated to wear the mask. Okay, but now they want all the employees back in masks. And they're the county commission's meeting together to discuss what they're going to do in Vegas. But what does that do if the customers aren't going to wear masks? If you're really scared or you really think the masks work, why is, the crowd not going to have to wear them? I mean, this is crazy stuff that goes on. It makes no sense at all.
And again, I saw the link on a CDC website, but it was a peer-reviewed medical journal article on the efficacy of these masks. And it pretty much confirmed what we've known from the beginning. If you don't have an N95 level medical mask, you might as well just wrap some pantyhose around your face and move on. It's not doing you a darn bit of good. It's not. And the medical community knows that. They do. They know that's the truth. You know, maybe it keeps you from sneezing on someone because it keeps the particulates around your nose, but anything can move through this mask. We're to believe this thing escaped a level 5 lab in Wuhan, but they can't get through a piece of paper? I mean, give me a break.
Yeah, and that's pretty gross, sneezing in a mask. I've done that. That's really gross. Really gross.
I know.
We've all done it. And then you're in a store and you're walking around with your own snot on your face for the rest of the time.
And you're embarrassed by it, but you're hoping nobody notices, right?
Yeah, and it's more embarrassing to take it off at that point, so you just got to go.
I carried 3 masks with me around allergy season.
For that reason.
For that reason alone.
Hey, Mark, you know, we've talked about this issue and the weird connection here, but talking about the border, I always say, where are those compassionate, the bleeding heart liberals that were yelling about kids in cages before, and now the situation's worse at the border? Where'd those people go, or is it just politically convenient for them not to talk? And I'm not changing the subject here. I'm actually relating this to COVID in asking, you know, there's lots of studies. We've seen them for probably close to a year now, and I just saw one come out of the UK that said kids are 5 to 10 times more likely to commit suicide in the last year than they were before all the lockdowns and the masks and everything that's gone along with COVID. But nobody talks about that. You know, they're more likely to die from suicide than they are from the disease we're trying to prevent.
Wow.
Where are the compassionate people in our society and in Western Europe that are supposed to be yelling about these things?
Well, again, you know, I mentioned to Heidi, look at who's gaining power from it. To your point, and I know it's not exactly the same thing, but our neighbors had a child in the middle of COVID, like early 2020, this baby was born. She was so used to seeing people only in masks that when they were finally able to take them off, she became afraid.
Wow.
And now when you walk down the street and this little girl is out playing, she will avert her eyes from you because she's not really sure why you don't have a mask on. I mean, there are impacts from this potentially psychologically down the road that we have no idea about. What we do know is, as you heard Dr. Victory say earlier, the impact on children is negligible. And Ryan, to your point, just like the numbers at the border, they want to suddenly excuse all of that and claim that it's not an issue. It all because they derive some power out of the ability to control that. They control you.
Yeah.
Yeah. The masks are just a symbol. And I think keeping these kids in the masks, as we all know, as you mentioned, Mark Cox, we know the masks mean nothing for kids in schools. All it does is condition them, as far as I'm concerned.
No, I would agree with that completely. Yeah.
It's just terrible. So did you watch Bezos this morning?
We did. We did a little radio play-by-play, which is not great radio when you're watching a rocket blast off into space. But, you know, you had to watch. You got to give the guy credit. I mean, I think he did something much greater than Sir Richard Branson, because Richard Branson basically flew an airplane into space.
Oh, is that what he did? Okay.
Yeah, at least Bezos had the get up and go to crawl on top of a rocket filled with tens of thousands of pounds of rocket fuel and jet up into outer space. I mean, I thought that was pretty impressive.
It was cool. And how about that booster that came back to Earth and just set itself right down on the little base there? That was impressive.
Well, you know what? I would have to say, as impressive as that was, I'm still not sure how I go on Amazon and order something and they have it at my house the next afternoon. I mean, if they can do that, this had to be simple to get the rocket to land back on its base.
Absolutely. And I'm not a big space junkie. I know a lot of people are, but they say there are going to be a lot of, I would assume, a lot of new discoveries as a result of the space race. So, you know, if we're not going to do it in America, might as well let the billionaires do it.
Yeah, no kidding. They're all trying to outdo each other. I don't know. I mean, I don't know what does Elon Musk come up with now? He's going to be third, so he's going to have to do something the other two didn't do. I'm not sure what that is.
You know, it's a different world, Mark. You know, I live in the kind of world where if a friend gets a new, you know, thing in their, you know, the faucet in their kitchen, and it's got a special thing that pulls out, we all go, wow, how cool. That's not the world Bezos lives in. Those guys live in the world where, hey, you got a rocket ship? I'll see your rocket ship and raise you one. I'll see your yacht. Mine's 100 feet longer. That's the world they live in. I wouldn't want to live in that world.
Well, the most impressive thing to me is the fact that that rocket, the New Shepard, didn't have a pilot. It didn't need a pilot to go to outer space. I mean, there were four average people in there, if you consider Bezos average. I mean, they flew up, they put out their parachutes, and they landed. And it's just absolutely mind-boggling to me. And I'm not sure if I had a bazillion dollars, I'd want to risk everything by trying that, but he did it. Good for him.
God bless him. I wouldn't do it either, but yeah, it's kind of like being in a Disneyland ride. They strap you in, you wait for someone to let you out. Pretty amazing.
Pretty amazing, isn't it? It's good stuff, though.
Yeah, Mark Cox Morning Show. Listen every single day right here on 97.1 FM Talk 5 to 9. Thank you, my friend, for joining me.
Heidi, my pleasure. Thank you.
Appreciate it. I got to do a little time on his show this morning. Did you guys hear that, or were you sleeping?
I did not hear it. I don't know that I was sleeping, but how'd it go?
Yeah, it was fun. Right after Mr. Bezos took off and landed again, we did a couple of minutes on Mark's show, and yeah, it was fun. He's a great guy, of course.
Cool.
And a great host. So it was a privilege. Always lots of fun. All right, coming up, we're going to talk about DACA. Now, I love this. A court has now said that the DACA program is illegal. This is great news, right? We'll talk about it with the Federation for American Immigration Reform. That's coming up next right here on The Andy Frey Show. I'm Heidi Harris.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
I'm Heidi Harris, in for Annie Frey. Glad to have you here today. Hope you're having a good afternoon. Here's some great news, and you may have missed this. A federal judge in Texas has ruled in favor of blocking new applications to the DACA program. That was the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. Remember that he also said that the President Barack Obama did not have the legal authority to offer protections to undocumented children brought to the U.S. from being deported. And, of course, we know that they're not going to go anywhere at this point. Leaves them more in limbo. Oh, boy. What a mess. Continuing mess. From the Federation for American Immigration Reform, R.J. Hammond's here to give us some information on this. How are you, R.J.?
Great. Thanks for having me on, Heidi.
Well, this is a great bit of good news, right? It doesn't get rid of everybody, but it's good news, right? A little?
No, I wouldn't go far enough that it's good news, but with the Biden administration, everything they're doing in the background, yes, it is very welcome news. This is a case that's been brewing there in the Federal District Court of the Fifth Circuit for a while. And Judge Hainan, on Friday, he ruled that DHS can no longer start processing new DACA applicants, but he even acknowledged that the program itself is not on firm legal footing. It is unconstitutional, but he did not end the program or address people that are under it right now. But right now, I think this really injected actually some unneeded pressure into a push that's currently going on Capitol Hill to to attach amnesty to an unrelated infrastructure package that it looks like it's about to contain a wish list full of progressive items. You just look how the Biden administration responded to the DACA ruling, Heidi. On Friday, President Biden immediately says, yay, Congress must pass legislation to protect the dreamers, whether it's through reconciliation attached to an infrastructure package or by another means. And then DHS Secretary Alejandro Mayorkas said, hey, I urge Congress to swiftly enact legislation through the reconciliation process to protect these people. On the same day, Heidi, we had the highest amount of border crossings in two decades, of nearly 190,000. And what does the Biden administration care about more? Securing our borders and enforcing the laws, or people here illegally? They care more about people here illegally.
Yeah, it's unbelievable. So R.J. Hellman from the Federation for American Immigration Reform. You know what? Speaking of Mayorkas, this guy has got some, I don't know what, I got to clean it up for the air. He's got some nerve. How about that? Here's a guy from Cuba. He escapes from Cuba with his family. He's got all the benefits of being an American. And then when there's a Cuban uprising and people are really concerned about their freedom finally coming out and, you know, in droves, as you know, and protesting, he's telling the Cubans, don't come here. Oh, really? We don't want those people because you might vote Republican, but we'll take the other people coming in through the other border. That's okay.
Yeah, it shows that a lot of the Democrats, all they care about more are the political and demographic implications of immigration. Yeah, if you're coming up here from Central America and you're perceived that you will vote Democrat, you're wearing your I back President Biden shirt and everything, of course we'll let you in droves. But when you're about to be added to a community in Florida that predominantly votes in Republican, you say, we will turn you away immediately. Listen, you cannot have it both ways. Well, so say what you want about President Trump on the other side. He was consistent, okay? He valued the rule of law. He secured our borders and treated everybody the same. Whether you were from Central America, you were from Asia, you were from countries in the Middle East, he upheld the rule of law and strengthened these programs to protect the American people and reinforce the integrity of our programs. The Biden administration is doing the opposite on every single front.
Yeah, it's truly amazing. And all these people, and I know you know all this, but I was just talking to a friend about this yesterday. All these folks who claim they care about children and cared about the kids in cages and all this kind of stuff. Where are these kids going, RJ? I mean, there are tens of thousands, probably hundreds of thousands of kids who've been brought in here by people who are not related to them. We don't even know where they're going. They're disappearing into the country. They're never going to find their parents. What's going to happen to them? They'll be victimized. Where's the outcry from the left on these kids?
Yeah, you know, all the Biden administration did right now was address the crisis by getting rid of the bad political optics. Okay, you don't have kids with those silver, you know, foil space blankets anymore, rammed in a cage or whatever, but you're still encouraging them to make the treacherous trip up here. That was always the most dangerous part of this trip up here, that you're riding alongside human smugglers and traffickers where there's sexual assault, robberies, all these terrible things. Yet all the Biden administration and Democrats cared to focus on was the very last leg of that journey where the air conditioning might not have been on or you have too many people together. That's the least of the concern of this program. And then, yeah, you're right. How can we properly verify that the sponsors of these children are actually related to them, that they aren't criminals? The whole process is a mess. And again, the Biden administration refuses to prevent people from coming up here. They just want to make the process smoother and easier. And I'll tell you what, Heidi, you're right. You know, a lot of the media coverage around the border crisis has dissipated because those powerful images are no longer here. But these numbers are becoming the new normal. It's crazy right now. We're actually over a million in the current fiscal year, which is unheard of. Border numbers have always dropped in the summer because it's so hot. We saw an increase from May to June. That is unheard of. So again, the crisis isn't over. You just don't have the images like you used to.
Yeah, it's amazing. We're speaking with R.J. Hellman from the Federation for American Immigration Reform about the DACA program. You know, and then all these kids with the DACA situation, as you said, it's a glimmer of good news, but it's not everything. The DACA program, there's still 600,000 kids who are currently enrolled in it. What's going to happen to them? We don't know. They're going to be left in limbo. And it's the fault of their parents. I love when they always try to say, oh, the Republicans, it's Trump, it's this one, it's that one, who leaves these kids in limbo. No, their parents brought them up here. They are leaving them in limbo. That's the reason the situation is bad.
Well, it's not just that, Heidi. The Democrats have left them in limbo. Like, listen, President Trump offered some key reforms to our system. The Democrats simply just cannot stomach any trade-off for amnesty. They want people to keep coming here. They don't want our laws to be enforced, even if it would protect those 600 or 1,000 or so people. I'll tell you what, Heidi, dating back, I think, since the early 2000s up here in Washington, the DACA population have been the Democrats' number one political football on immigration. I wish these DACA recipients would wake up and realize that they are being used for political and policy gain by a radical party. They could have been protected under Trump. President Trump straight up said, I will sign into law to protect these people if we get valuable reforms in the long run. And the Democrats rejected it. I wish they would have an uprising of sorts. Listen, all the Democrats care about is making sure that you have a steady flow of migrants coming into this country that they can use for political gain and that companies can use for cheap foreign labor. That's all they want. Okay,
that's
it isn't
true.
Just
that's
about
both sides.
Protecting people who are here. Yep.
That's true. But both sides are guilty of that. The Republicans a lot of times want the cheap labor. The Democrats want the voters.
Oh, it's a hunt. Every side is guilty on this. Every side is guilty on this. And again, we wish some of these people that were brought here, of course, at a young age and everything, would absolutely wake up. But again, we're going to be in this situation, Heidi. The more we have these people come up here through a very flawed system, they get resettled into the interior of the country. We all know that they're going to lose their frivolous asylum case in 2-3 years because our backlog is so large. And then we're now creating a new population that the Democratic Party and open borders immigration advocates are going to call for amnesty over. So again, this is a never-ending crisis. You're creating another population of people in this weird immigration space. It's something that's never-ending. We all know how these situations play out.
Yeah, how about this? I've got an idea, R.J. Hellman from Federation for American Immigration
Reform. All right, go ahead.
I don't know if it's good.
I want to hear.
Here's an idea. You take these kids who've been here since they were 5. It's not their fault they're here. It's their parents' fault. Give them a green card. In other words, you spit on the sidewalk, we toss you out. But you can never vote. If the Republicans proposed that, the Democrats would go berserk and they would prove once and for all that they don't care about these folks, and possibly that would benefit the Republicans. What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I can't weigh in on that yet because it's not an actual proposal. But I mean, yeah, that is proper 3D chess that I think would put the Democrats in a total pickle. I mean, we're seeing that across the board. You do have some Democrats trying to put them in a corner by saying, hey, we're willing to consider a bill that addresses the DACA population. If you allow us to try to add amendments to it, that would address the border crisis. Democrats say, oh, no, we can't do that. I guarantee you they do the same thing. And the other thing you have to keep in mind, Heidi, is that this program isn't ending. There is no imminent need, even for the Democrats, to protect these people. They're not going anywhere. So right now, I mean, again, they would never bite at anything like that, even if it ensured permanent protection, because you're right. They have political goals, and I wish these people would wake up and realize it.
Right. And believe me, I'm not an advocate of kids coming in here and being given green cards and all that and the privileges because they came in here illegally. Understand that I'm not necessarily saying that at all. I'm just making the point that we're not going to throw them out. Everybody knows we're not going to throw them out. So if you allow them to work legally, pay taxes, all of that kind of stuff, but they can never vote, I just think it would be a nice chess. I like the way you put it, with the chess game. I think it would be a heck of a chess. But then again, they're still being used as pawns in the game, right? That's the problem.
That is true. You could say it's a problem on both sides. That's why immigration is always one of the most fascinating, toughest to navigate policy issues here in the swamp.
Yeah, it is. It's just so sad. It really is one of those things where nobody really, both sides don't want to actually take control of the situation. But it's beyond a humanitarian crisis now. It's always been a problem. We know that. But it's insanity. I mean, if this were happening in other places in the world, I'm sure there are some places where things are very bad. We know that. But, I mean, people would be screaming, the ACLU, all these others. They're ignoring it now. It's stunning to me how nobody cares what's happening under Biden.
Yeah, no, and you obviously have the media controlling the narrative on this front. I mean, I'll tell you what, aside from watching Fox News occasionally, where I think Bill Malugan is covering people actually in these large groups swarming here into the country, you don't hear a peep from the national media anymore on this issue.
Nope.
It's like the crisis is over when it isn't. Because why? A lot of people are starting to quickly realize, Heidi, and we're seeing it via polling we're doing, whatever, the Biden administration agenda is a political plank walk for the Democratic Party. The whole effort, again, to amnesty potentially up to 10 million people as part of an infrastructure package would put both chambers of Congress in the hands of Republicans in 2022 and potentially, you know, make sure Biden has to leave the White House in January of 2025 when a Republican candidate likely beats Kamala Harris for that second term. So, it's just a lot of going on. I think Biden almost is probably recognizing all these open borders radicals that he's surrounded himself with, both at the White House and agencies with jurisdiction over immigration, again, are leading the party off a political plank. The American people want our laws enforced right now. They want the crisis to end. They don't want to provide amnesty to illegals as part of an unrelated infrastructure package. The only people who want that stuff are illegal aliens and far-left advocates here in Washington and very blue states.
Speaking with R.J. Holman, Government Relations Director for the Federation for American Immigration Reform. That's fair. So let me just end this where we started on that federal judge case that ruled against DACA. What happens practically now? I read that Biden is going to, of course, appeal that. What happens with that case?
Yeah, this could, eventually, obviously, hit the Supreme Court. But the Supreme Court would actually rule on the legality of the program as a whole. Basically, all Judge Haynen said is that, hey, DHS did not follow the Administrative Procedures Act when it moved to phase out the program. Well, the Supreme Court said that Trump didn't follow the Administrative Procedures Act. And then Haynen pretty much said the same thing. But we're going to see some appeals going here, and they're going to go higher than the U.S. District Court. And then you're going to see, potentially, the Supreme Court ruling on whether the DACA program is permissible under federal law. And we do not believe it is. President Obama was circumventing his authority, defied existing law on the books. And then if the Supreme Court does rule in that manner, then the program will have to end and cease to exist. And, of course, if that ends up happening, Congress will feel like it must act immediately. But, when you see if that does happen and you see the urgency that Congress acts when it comes to protecting illegal aliens and you compare it to the border crisis that's been happening since January, you'll see where their priorities lie. Those coming here illegally trump the American people.
Absolutely true. R.J. Holman from Federation for American Immigration Reform, thanks for being here. We appreciate it. I'm trying not to get depressed about it, but it is a real distressing situation. I was down there, as you know, a couple of weeks ago at the border with the Federation for American Immigration Reform. We were literally down on the fence on the Arizona border. It was the first time I'd actually been to the fence, and we were hearing from ranchers, and we were hearing from parents whose children have died from the fentanyl that's being brought over the border, and police officers who are down there trying to deal with this craziness with the gangs and whatnot. It is a huge, huge crisis. And as far as I'm concerned, the media, they're derelict in their duties.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's fairus.org, F-A-I-R, fairus.org. Check them out. They are on the front lines. Thank you, RJ. Appreciate that. It's when you hear all of the things, these people talking firsthand who are dealing with the illegal situation, it's just a crisis. And it's stunning to me. You don't hear a word about it from the media. How do they live with themselves, guys? How do they even get up in the morning and look themselves in the eye in the mirror and say, I'm doing the right thing, when they're completely ignoring the elephant in the room?
I don't think they care anymore about journalism. I think they know without even saying so that they're activists now.
Yeah, they want to push an agenda, and they really don't care. And I guess we all know that. But it's just at times it just becomes depressing when you think of this. And if you care about human beings, the idea, this humanitarian crisis, all of these people being jammed into these warehouses down there on the borders because they're all being allowed to come. If you told them, if you come, we're going to turn you back around, they wouldn't be coming in the numbers they are. And that's on Biden. It's just...
we left $3 billion of fence money just without... it was already spent. We could have just continued to build it at no cost because the money was spent and they decided not to use it.
I know. It's amazing. It is incredible. Coming up next hour, beginning of next hour, Zach Smith's going to be here from the Heritage Foundation. We're going to talk about the 75,000 ballots, 74 to be exact, ballots returned with no record of ever being sent in Maricopa County in Arizona. Wow, what a mess. And we'll get to that. We'll get to details with him at the beginning of next hour. All right, coming up, Kamala Harrison. How many people think she's ready to be president? The number, I guess, may not surprise you too much. We've got to just keep embalming Joe so he makes it through, right, the next couple of years? Right? Shooting him with embalming fluid?
That'll preserve him anyway, yeah.
We'll talk about it coming up next. I'm Heidi Harris, in for Annie Fry.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
I'm Heidi Harrison for Annie Fry. Got Ryan here, Jake here. Looks like we got ourselves in a little trouble with big tech this morning, huh, Ryan?
Isn't that great? Yeah. It wasn't today. So yesterday we got flagged by our YouTube overlords for not towing the company line and saying things that are not approved by their content managers. So today, knowing that we were going to talk about COVID in the first hour, we actually took ourselves down just temporarily and then put ourselves right back up. So that they were going to kick us off permanently if we didn't, so we just circumvented them. But here's the information they sent us that said, you guys are in violation, and based on something we said yesterday. I don't even know what.
It said you guys?
It said y'all, actually.
Oh, that's worse.
Y'all. Okay,
what did we say?
It's
that personal touch, you know?
Yeah, it said, so here's treatment misinformation, content that claims that there's a guaranteed cure for COVID-19. I don't think we said that. Content that recommends use of ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine. That's all banned. You can't talk about those
things. We didn't even talk about that yesterday.
I don't think we did
either.
What
are they talking about?
These are just their general, they're just saying you violated something within this.
I was going to say, this sounds like a listener email when they say you said this and that. You didn't say this or that.
We just have to pick out which one we violated.
Yeah, we have to find which one ourselves and then, I guess, appeal it or something.
Okay, so we can't talk about cures. We didn't talk about cures. Okay.
Any claim that ivermectin or hydrochloroquine are effective treatments.
You can't even pronounce that. That's not a problem.
Slow down. So YouTube is upset. If we didn't, by the way, do this, but if anyone talks about hydroxychloroquine or ivermectin as effective treatments when they've been approved for decades for all kinds of things and they've been shown to greatly improve recovery, I'm not a doctor, okay, folks, but they've been shown to greatly help people recover from COVID in some cases. And if you talk about that, YouTube will shut you down.
Yes. And here's what's amazing. Heidi, on last Monday, I had an appointment with a respiratory doctor, and we talked about this a little bit, I think, on the show, that he's very much pro-vaccine. He was encouraging me. And I said, look, I've had COVID. I have the antibodies. And we debated. And he's like, well, I still think you should get the vaccine. He's very, very much in line with popular thought. He is not. He only had to admit things once I challenged him on any of it. But one of the things I asked him was, straight up, ivermectin. I didn't mention hydroxychloroquine, but I did mention ivermectin. He said, you know, there is some evidence that that's a valid treatment. This guy said that. He's not Dr. Kelly Victory. This is just a guy who is looking at the data, okay? But that's not appropriate. What I just said just now is not appropriate for YouTube, apparently.
Amazing. Yeah. I talked to a friend of mine. I'm going to get back to your rules, but I talked to a friend of mine who was telling me that this is just an anecdotal case, all right? Somebody she knew who got the vaccine, because we know that it sometimes, what we're hearing is it sometimes interferes with autoimmune situations. Apparently, this guy had some type of herpes, and I guess, you know, there's more than one type, like the kind you get on your mouth and the time you get other places, type 1, type 2, whatever. Apparently, he had some kind of herpes that was dormant, and then when he got the vaccine, it went into his brain.
Whoa, the old dormant herpes, eh?
I have no idea what that even means, I'm not a doctor. I will ask Dr. Kelly Victory about that, but that's a crazy thing because it's an autoimmune kind of thing, I guess, was the reaction he had.
Wow, yeah.
All right, so what else did YouTube say we were doing wrong or possibly doing wrong or we should worry about in the future?
I'm trying to sift through. There's so many of these, and some of them are crazy. Like, talk about... I'm trying to find... Some of them, you're like, okay, I kind of get that, but still, let people do it and let people decide that that's crazy for themselves. That's free speech.
So instead of just telling us which ones we violated...
It just sent this long list. Claims that wearing a mask is dangerous or causes negative physical health effects. You can't do that. Claims
Wait, what?
Claims
that the vaccine?
No, the masks. The second one here, the masks do not play a role in preventing the contraction or transmission of COVID-19. If you say that they do not help, you are in violation.
Wow.
These are very, very much like your health-friendly overlords approving your speech.
Okay, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to send me that. I'm going to post that up on my website, HeidiHarris.com, and I know you'll post it up on the station website. That's crazy land. Anyway, yeah. Keep going.
Just a couple of and the way they word them, if I read it word for word, you're going to go, yeah, well, I kind of agree with that, except that I don't agree with, you know, just censoring free speech. But
yeah,
how about this one? How about this one? Content that encourages the use of home remedies, prayer, or rituals.
No.
Yes. In place of medical treatment. Well, yeah, okay. Like, I get that if you're going, well, just do this ritual where you stab this goat and then you won't get COVID. I get that, but you hear the way they word that, where they end on rituals where you go, well, okay, that's kind of crazy.
Listen, if that's your thing.
But they start with home remedies and prayer. You know, don't do that. Don't do that.
Listen, when I got COVID, all I had was home remedies. My husband waiting on me hand and foot, bringing me yogurt and vitamin C and things like that. That was it. They you know what they threw at me? They threw a, what is it called? The Z-Pack. That's all I got for medical treatment.
Yeah, me too. Yeah, that's what I got. And Starburst. I ate a ton of Starburst. Don't know why I remember that, but I do.
Have you noticed anything that you liked before COVID that doesn't taste right to you anymore?
I had no problems with taste or smell.
I didn't either, but there's some things that since COVID I haven't liked. There were certain kind of potato chips I don't like anymore since COVID and things like that, and I had no problem with my taste or smell when I had it. It's just weird, but anyway, just that's an aside.
So there's stuff that you don't like now. Is there stuff that you found that you do like now? Now that
not
you've had
that
COVID?
Not that I can think of, but no? There's some stuff that just doesn't taste right to me anymore. Mm-hmm. Potato chips, who needs them anyway? So I'm...
Well, let me run a couple things that... Okay. If Annie Fry's in the room, if you mention these foods, she's walking out. She can't handle it.
Okay.
Sushi.
Oh, yuck. You fish with that.
I'm in,
too. I love
squid.
I love sushi.
You put it on a hook. No. Squid, you put it on a hook, and you drop the hook in the water, and you hope for a big fish. That's what squid is good for, in my opinion.
Well, squid is a little bit different than just sushi.
I know, though. But people, my husband loves sushi. You asked me. Go ahead. What else does Annie Fry not like?
Meat on the bone. She cannot stand the idea
What's
of meat.
What's wrong? She doesn't
ribs.
Like a good ribeye?
No.
What's wrong with that girl?
I can see where she's coming from, because that's... finger food.
Yes.
A good ribeye?
Like, and you don't want to get your hands dirty. I bet you that's where that comes from.
How about
from.
This one, actually, Heidi? So you're not from St. Louis. Have you ever heard of a pork steak?
Ooh.
What's a pork steak?
Ha ha! You just answered my question.
Is that like a pork chop with a bone in it?
No. It's different. I can't actually tell you exactly what
I'll
it is.
I'll look it up.
It's just something. Yeah, he'll read the definition of a pork steak. It's a St. Louis thing. It's not even a Midwest thing. It's something
okay.
they just do in St. Louis. Certain cut of meat. But as soon as he's got it, you got it?
Pork steak, also called the Boston butt or pork blade steak.
Never heard that
is
before.
Okay, I don't want the Boston butt.
Yeah,
can we start with that?
It's a steak cut from the shoulder of the pig.
Shoulder I'm eating, not the butt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know why they call it that.
But
Boston needs to figure it out.
I thought it included part of the tenderloin in there. It just includes the bone, too. But anyway, that's a food. And while we're at it, since we have a minute left, toasted ravioli, ever heard of that?
Are you kidding me? Olive Garden? I just had some last
week.
No, not Olive Garden.
No,
the toasted ravioli at Olive Garden, do not turn your nose up, young man. That is the best.
As a St. Louisan, and an Italian, I take everything from Olive Garden with a grain of salt.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Especially the toasted ravs.
Well, I love the toasted ravioli there. Okay.
Oh, come
ahead.
To St. Louis, try our
I'm
toasted
surprised
ravs.
To hear that's made it out of St. Louis now and is so mainstream that Olive Garden is serving
You can
it.
Get like frozen toasted ravs in some
how about,
regions.
How about gooey butter cake?
Gooey butter cake?
I'm going to take
didn't
that
even
as
sound
a no.
Good.
Mm. Okay. No, you've got to try that. That's a St. Louis original. It's really, really
it's
good.
Fantastic.
Frozen custard, that's
started
here.
You come out to Vegas,
you
got to have the $1, well, it used to be 25-cent shrimp cocktail. You can still have those here.
Did you hear? So frozen custard. We got like 30 seconds left though.
Oh, frozen custard. No, yeah. I don't like frozen custard.
So what? You have had it though. Okay.
Oh yeah, I've had ice cream. Just give me ice cream. Don't give me frozen yogurt, frozen custard. Just give me ice cream.
Yeah, frozen custard is a St. Louis original, so we want credit for that, Heidi. Even though you
okay,
you've
I
had
think
it there.
That
pretty sure
you
the ice cream cone was a St. Louis invention.
That's
too.
That's true too. Well, it was just at the 1904 World's Fair.
That's
I guess.
Right.
We get credit for
oh,
that.
Oh, that's incredible.
Yeah.
That's very good stuff.
There
all
you
right,
go.
Coming up next hour, I cannot wait to talk about what's going on in Maricopa County. Be sure and post all those rules there for Ryan. We'll post them online for everybody to see them. Maricopa County, we'll talk with the Heritage Foundation. Top of the hour coming up. I'm Heidi Harris in for Annie Fry.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.